Maj, when I come here and go through the different processes, would they perhaps change what they are in the spiritual world due to this experience, or they would change. Remain? They would remain as before.
Except, yeah, they're the same. They're eternally. That's their eternal identity.
So they go to the original position. Mm. They go back to the original position.
They're always original. The eternal associates of Krishna are always in their original position.
So when they come from there, that position, who takes that?
They also stay there at the same time. They're there and here.
So we're there as well.
Huh?
They're there as well.
You're not there yet.
No, you say we stay there as well.
They are there.
The eternal associates.
Two types of devotees. Those who are trying to get there, and those who are always there.
Now, what I was trying to ask, if I had a position there, I'd come down.
No. Yeah. But Krishna's associates are different. They don't come down. They come down for Krishna's passing, so they can be just like Krishna's in many places, so Krishna's associates can also be in many places, and they can have many bodies at the same time. You have the...
Because Krishna says that we are not this body, we are the spirit souls, and we are still like devotees, us, myself, we are not on that platform that we understand that we are not this body. But when we go out and preach, even in the family and outside, and if someone is relating so much to their body, what is the best way to preach them that we are not this body, we are the souls?
Look, that's the basic knowledge that we give to people, and Krishna's primary teaching is Komara, Jobara, Jara, Tata, Dehantara, Praktir. Is that if you see that your body is always changing, so are you the same person or are you a different person? What's the answer? What's the same? Everything changes.
The body's changing.
So there's something there that doesn't change. How you think may change, your intelligence may change, your body changes, but everyone knows that, but I'm still the same person. So what is it that doesn't change? That which doesn't change, that's the soul. And this is the beginning of spiritual life. Without knowing this, you can't understand anything. Now, Krishna starts with this. He starts with this understanding to distinguish between matter and spirit, to understand one's spiritual identity. And unfortunately, that knowledge is more or less lost. And that's what education, spiritual education, starts with that. It starts with having that understanding. Who am I? So unless you know who you are, now how can you know who God is? You can't even understand yourself. So that's the very simple understanding. Or Prabhupada gives his example of a car. You get in a car, you have a driver. Now who's important, the driver or the car? What's the essence? So this car is moving around. Who's driving? You know, you ask him, well, point to yourself. Prabhupada, what do you point to? You point to your head. That's just your head. So who is the owner of this body? Who owns this body? So inherently, we identify with it. But this knowledge, and unfortunately, our whole culture that we live in, and now by that I mean the whole global culture, is based upon an educational system which is meant to make people ignorant. In other words, there's no teaching of who you are, because as soon as you're not this body, then to today's economy and consumer society collapses. It's useless. Because consumerism is based on you being this body, that you need this and you need to look like that and so many other things, because that will make you happy. And of course it doesn't make people happy, or you get some short-lived thrill, but then it's over. So, and our Kali Yuga is really based on ignorance of one's identity. So when we're preaching, and our main teaching is based on this, is actually understanding and communicating to people, because everything changes. When you're not this body, and you're, this body is just your dress, then what you eat is different, what you do is different, how you work is different, your goal in life is different. When you think that, oh, I just live one life and everything's over, and that's because the body's finished. So if you're this body, you only got one life. If you're not this body, then all right, how am I preparing for my next life? And when you realize that all of these activities, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, and all the sinful activities that go on, when these things actually make you lose your human form of life, which is the only facility for self-realization, and you're going to lose this human life in your next life, and you're going to become a dog, then people have to plan differently. Because everyone's planning. Why do you get educated? Because I need a profession. Why do you need a profession? Because I need to maintain myself and I need to be able to retire. But it's all based on one life. But as soon as you see that it's more than one life, then you have to start planning. You use that same type of planning, but now it's, all right, well, what's going to determine? Do I want to be a dog? Or even worse? And so Prabhupada would say that people are being systematically kept in ignorance.
Here in the Krishna book it's mentioned, actually my son pointed out, like when Krishna used to do dance, ras the dance with the gopis, you should not imagine yourself in that dance. Why is it wrong?
Because you're not there, you're here. Why should you imagine yourself?
But it said sinful. I mean, why is it so sinful?
It's because it's speculating. Speculating means you're doing something. You're not qualified to dance. You can't just walk into Krishna's dance. This is the highest yoga. So can you stand on your head? Why? Because you haven't developed that skill. Though this is much more difficult than standing on your head dancing with Krishna. So you have to be qualified for it. But if we're not qualified, then why do we think we can just imagine myself in it? So spiritual life isn't an issue, matter of imagination, it's a matter of purification. And that's why I said it starts by chanting. And if you can't even hear, if you can't control your mind, how can you dance with Krishna? Krishna is so easy. Or to dance with Krishna is such a small thing. It's the topmost yogi. So even the yogis who may live in the Himalayas and live for hundreds of years or thousands of years, they can't dance with Krishna. But you have to be qualified.
But he is your friend, isn't it? They say Krishna is everything to you. So, I mean, the closest person is...
Yeah, but Krishna, but is Krishna everything to you? Yeah. Is he? So will you, for instance, when if your son dies, then who are you going to lament? Do you just easily accept that this is what Krishna wants?
Yeah, I
think I will. You will. You hear that?
I mean, obviously in the beginning I'll have some remorse, but eventually I think I have to.
Surrender.
Well, it requires surrender, and then it really requires real love. And love isn't a word. Love is actually a spiritual perfection, and one can only have love. As I mentioned, Krishna says, "Bhava Gyana Tapasa Putramad Bhava Magata." Without knowledge, without studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you cannot love Krishna. Without knowing about the spiritual world, you cannot love Krishna. You can have some sentiment, some attachment, and that's good, an attraction. But love and attraction are two different things. So the gopis, they left their children, they left their husbands, they left morality, they left everything just because Krishna called. But they did it out of pure love for Krishna.
Sorry, what did you say?
Out of pure love. So love is something, it's there in the heart, but it has to be cultivated. It has to be awakened. And if I love Krishna, then I don't have any problem chanting Hare Krishna. Because I love Krishna's name. Because Krishna is not different than his name. Then my mind doesn't wander, where's it going to go? If you love somebody, then you think of them automatically all the time. You don't get distracted by anyone or anything. So it's a real transcendental experience, love, real love, which means that it's not material. It's not something you can compare it to anything material. But we have attachment and affection for Krishna. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But that's a beginning. What's so special?
Spiritual stance
on organ transplants?
Organ transplants between two individuals.
Oh, what about it?
What do you think of it?
Spiritual stance.
What's the Krishna conscious understanding of?
Organ transplant. Just be a little more explicit. What do you want to know about it?
Like, is it right?
Is it right? Are you talking about getting an organ or giving one?
Like the karma you receive if you gave an organ, or if someone accepts it just by the will?
Well, to whom would you give an organ?
Someone who's dying.
And then what will he do if he lives?
We don't
know.
But then you'll be responsible.
For his acts.
For his
because
acts.
Because you prolonged his life.
Yeah. Generally speaking, that's we recognize we're contributing to someone else, engaging in sinful activity. That's why I asked to who. But if you're doing it to a devotee, and that's going to give him a further opportunity to perfect his life, then it's okay.
That's a spiritual activity. That is a spiritual activity.
Yeah. There are many examples that you see in Shastra of the Dadachi Muni gave his bones to Indra. But you have to consider, right, what's the result? Someone's not going to die. What's the benefit of someone not dying? That they kill somebody? Mm. That they kill more cows? Then better not use our initiative to interfere with fate. But for devotee, then, oh yes, this devotee, he can continue his devotional service. Then, yeah, you can do that.
What about receiving?
Because you're a devotee, therefore, it's up to you. Someone may not want to do it. So Prabhupada wouldn't have, you know, Prabhupada had kidney failure. Prabhupada wouldn't have accepted kidneys for him. Because what's ultimately, even for a devotee, what's the point of living? Well, you live. You never die anyway. So you're in this body, and if you're not in this body, you're another body. Tathādihantara prāpti, so body you get. And if you're perfected soul like Śrīla Prabhupāda, then staying longer in the material world. So that was when Prabhupāda was very very explicit and very very strong about, he just wanted to depend on Krishna and show us how to actually depend on Krishna. If Krishna wants to prolong your life, fine. If this is the natural course of activity, devotee is already in Krishna's care, then let it, whatever's going to happen is fine.
If somebody has cancer, a devotee has cancer, he'll do whatever he can to reduce that, or reduce that burden on the body. But if it comes to a point where the cancer is so rigorous, then perhaps he may say, okay, this is the natural course, let it just take place. Is that the right
answer? Well, once again, according to someone's consciousness, but it's a free choice. You can choose to do absolutely nothing. Hmm. Depends, especially when you talk about cancer and taking chemotherapy, which can be even worse than
it's
cancer.
Destroy the body anyway.
And it really interferes with the quality of your life very, very drastically, reduces it. I had one devotee, one god by the Narmada Swami, who had cancer. He went to Vrindavan and he just fasted to death. He neither ate nor drank.
Brilliant.
And they'll take no medication. And then, of course, there's others who take treatment, but it's something that every individual has to determine for themselves. You can't really tell someone else what they should do with their life, especially at that stage, especially when it comes to that level of sickness. And people, according to their own values or their own ideals, they'll decide to do something different. And someone may do nothing, and someone may do everything. Someone may, you know, Prabhupada said, never take me to a hospital. Someone may decide to leave their body in a hospital. But it's very much an individual choice. And you can give some low-level advice, low-key advice, but you can't oblige someone. That choice, everyone has a right as to how they want to do that. It'll be the Anyam Bhapisman, whatever they've learned, whatever faith they've developed, that's how that will mature at the time of death. And how you want to die. And it's an important thing to actually plan. Because, like Srila Prabhupada, he was very clear. I mean, not just at the end, but in the very beginning. You know, and already in 1966, he went to the hospital and told them to take me out. And the doctors, you know, didn't want to let him out. Prabhupada, you know, take me out. And that was always Prabhupada's emphasis, whatever happens, never take me to a hospital. So Prabhupada had that ethos. And it's something that we need to think about, and we need to determine what it is that we want to do. That's why I emphasize that thing about having the living will. I ask whether Maharaj had a will.
Yes.
And it's good to actually put it in writing as well. Because someone else may not necessarily do what you want when you're no longer in control. That's why it was such a good thing that you brought Maharaj. His general disciples would say, no, we want the best for Guru Maharaj, we keep him in the hospital and get some treatment, and maybe that should only be done if if someone explicitly says that, wants that.
Luckily, he was conscious enough, we asked him. Even if he hadn't said anything, he just wanted to take
him. Yeah, it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do.
And Maharaj, this sannyasi you mentioned, your godmother, what happened? He fasted to death.
And left his body in Vrindavan.
Fully conscious.
Fully conscious.
Wow.
And how many days?
I think a couple of... Well, yeah, you only last a couple of months, or maybe even less, not eating or drinking. A
couple of months?
Wow. You have to be very determined. You have to be very self... You have to be a yogi.
Yeah, that's really incredible.
My mother was... The last few years, my mother was very sick, and she asked me, she says, she lived in Toronto, so I used to... She said, well, take me to Switzerland to one of these hospitals where, you know, they actually... Yeah. I said, no. Mm-hmm. She said, but if you want to fast to death, then you can do that. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I can't do that.
When someone is fully Krishna conscious and leaves their body, what happens to them and where do they go?
Where do they go?
What happens?
They go to Krishna. So when you're fully Krishna conscious, then you go to Krishna. Yam yam bhati smaram bhavam tujantam te kalivaram. According to how you live in this life, that cultivates your consciousness, and your consciousness will determine where you go in your next life. So if you're fully Krishna conscious, you go to Krishna, and that's why that's our motto, back home, back to Godhead, we go to Krishna.
You can ask, although we are quite aware of Krishna conscious now, but still, you know, sometimes when we come in contact with materialistic people, we kind of slip, you know, here and there. So how to... Control us in those situations, basically.
Because that's the nature of being a beginner, is that you become influenced by others. But if someone becomes so purified at heart, then they don't come under other people's influence. So that spiritual strength and determination comes by strong spiritual practice. Regulated chanting, studying shastra, having regulated, just like in temple, we have morning program. So either morning program in temple, morning program at home, doesn't matter, but very... And that gives the spiritual strength, because one gets a higher taste. Param tishtva anivartati. And you're not distracted by the lower tastes of material people, or their philosophies, or their way of living, or their advice. You know what the reality is. But when that isn't strong, then yes, you become influenced. Yeah, you need to go before it gets dark.
I can ask my questions.
Go ahead.
Moments before, when somebody's leaving their body, if they're Krishna conscious in terms of their chanting, remember Krishna, is it possible, or does it happen that at the time of death, because at least my training in Krishna is that the time of the death is so difficult that that's really you're tested in terms of your Krishna consciousness, because so many scorpions are apparently biting you, and you will think of the deepest attachment that you have. So there are two temporarily there seem to be two separate events, where it's right before the time of death and at the time of death. Which of the two is the determinative factor in terms
No, it's not like that. If it's not that you're very Krishna conscious, you know, all the way up to the time of death, and then all of a sudden you lose it at the time of death. Therefore, Krishna says, yam yam bhati smaram bhavam. However you practice thinking of Krishna, that will happen. And it's not that people are pain-free, difficult-free, right up until the time that they die. Sometimes people are praying to die because old age and sickness is so uncomfortable in so many ways. So that's what practice is. We're practicing, and we should be able to gauge how our consciousness is developing, becoming purified, and we're getting more and more attached to Krishna. And it will develop that it becomes natural, because no, why will I think about other things at the time of death? I will think about Krishna, because that's been the training, that's been the evolution of consciousness. So consciousness will evolve naturally to that stage. And even if for some reason something happens that you can't think about Krishna, but someone who deserves to go to Krishna will go to Krishna. It's not going to depend upon what happens exactly at the time of death. So even if you don't think about Krishna at that time, Krishna will think about you, because you've made such sincere effort to be Krishna conscious all of your life. No, Krishna is not like that, that everything's just going to depend upon 1 second and everything else can go down the drain in one, just because of what happens in 1 second. So, and that's why I mentioned planning. We need to plan. And if we sincerely plan, then you'll get that, what Krishna says. Manmanvava, madbhakta, madhyajama, namaskuru. Pratijani priyosimi. Then you'll come to me. He says, I guarantee you'll come to me.
The reason why I ask this question is sometimes I hear, especially when preaching to my family, is like, yeah, I know this. Like you, I share the verse about whatever you think of the when you're leaving the body. They're like, yeah, that's when we'll start chanting. When we're
yeah, but
be
if you don't practice, you won't. If you're not doing it now, when you're healthy and young and so on, you're not going to be able to do it then. So yes, then if someone, no one will be able to just start chanting then. Because, like you say, it's such a difficult time. Everything's going. So if you can't practice it when times are good, when times are easier, why is it going to happen when it's so difficult?
Because often when there's a lot of pain and suffering, that's when people
Taking shelter isn't like, and Krishna isn't some kind of umbrella that you just put over your head when it starts raining.
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
So you need to develop. Taking shelter means that you actually develop attachment to Krishna. It's a process, and the chances are that people will not take shelter of Krishna. Or the way they take shelter of Krishna isn't going to give them that result. They're not going to be able to achieve that result. Other than why should we bother?
That's sort of like, yeah, my question is, if somebody on their deathbed starts chanting,
they're not going to start chanting.
Okay.
And if they chant, fine, well, let them chant. But it'll still be a different type of chanting than those who chanted all their lives.
Yeah. Thank you.
Following on from that question, if you're old already and you've just joined Krishna consciousness, how long does this process have to be until you're attracted by Krishna?
It depends on sincerity. It can happen in a minute, or it may not happen in many lifetimes. So it's not. But then, Vedic culture would start. Brahmachari Gurukula start at age 5. It would start before that. It would start even with samskaras. Even when someone's in the womb of their parents, they would already be Krishna conscious. So at least have Krishna conscious step forward and an opportunity. So at least we should make the best of what we have. So if I'm joining late, then I have to make all that much more effort. Then like Prabhupada says, don't try, just do it.
Just wanted to ask you, how can we become surrendered souls within life? It becomes difficult, and it throws difficult challenges at us. What is the best way to face those challenges and realize that we need to at that moment surrender? It normally doesn't work.
because we get all worked out, what's happening to me, why is it happening to me. So that's the time we need this quality of surrender to Krishna and have the faith. But how do we really develop that? You know, it's by chanting or...
Life is a process of surrender. So if you only try to surrender when things get tough or difficult, then that's much... If you haven't practiced when things are easy. So, living by what you need, rather than over-endeavoring. So, what does surrender mean? Don't work 16 hours a day. Work 8 hours a day. Or if you can get away with less, then even work less. And live simply and humbly, but spend your time in being Krishna conscious. So, because you say, well, I don't have time, I have to work too much. Why do you have to work so much? Because I have so many plans, I need to have this big house and take this break and so on. Why? So surrender is that you already accept those activities which are most conducive for spiritual evolution, and you surrender, you give up these other things. I don't have to have both, and especially I don't have to sacrifice my spiritual life for material achievements. So if we do that in a very systematic way, and then that's why spiritual life is about moderation, austerity, not eating too much, not eating too little, not sleeping too much, not sleeping too much, following certain principles, lifestyle, dharma. But these all contribute to surrender. Accepting these things is all surrender. And the whole lifestyle, just like Prabhupada says, don't try, just do it. And whatever that means in terms of a material consequence, then that's how I plan my life. I plan my life around being Krishna conscious. I don't plan my life around being an achiever and some material goals. If I have to choose between the two, then let me...
It's having complete faith in the world.
You have to have faith, yeah. Yeah, you have faith in Krishna, otherwise you have faith in a social system that's collapsing, an economic system that's imploding, and a political system where everyone knows a politician just means a cheater. Why have faith in that? Now, you should all go. You're doing good that it's not raining. And before it gets dark, especially if you're on rickshaws.
Maharaj, when are you planning to come to the UK? Is there a plan yet?
It's beginning of October.
Will you be able to set aside one day for us? Or half a day?
To come down?
To the sun, is that possible? If it's too much, we can go up.
You have to email. That would probably be easier. Because coming down means I'm spending more time traveling than I'm spending with you.
And
I'm sort of I'm only staying for a few days.
Okay.
Well, I'm coming in January. That may be something else. But I'm coming in October for a few days on my way back to India.
Okay. So maybe January we can ask you to stay for maybe a few days if possible.
Well, I'm only staying even then for a week at the most.
Right.
But and I'm trying not to travel
too much.
So that's why I'm here. So I'm just in one place.
Right.
But you should just write me.
Yeah, I
mean. Email me, and then, you know, can.
Okay. And Maharaj, just a very quick introduction to your deities.
Is this Radha Damodar?
Shalagram.
Huh?
Yeah, the
Shilas. Yeah, the Shilas. Radha Damodar is the main deity, and they are Swarup Damodar Goswami's deities, original deities.
Swarup Damodar Chaitanya Pasad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who's that?
Swarup Damodar is one of these close associates of Lord Chaitanya. Is it Vishakha or Lalita?
Hmm?
Can't remember who. His identity is Vishakha.
Lalita. Yeah.
Very, very close associate. Wow. So take a good darshan.
Yeah.
This is extraordinary.
They would be. They would be just as much Krishna if they weren't.
Of course, but even more potent.
But because many of the deities in India are so neglected, so
right.
We got the opportunity to serve them. And so take a picture. And then,
Abandon them from taking pictures.
Huh?
Abandon them from taking pictures. They're taking too many of themselves.
Yeah, don't take a picture of you. Can't take a selfie, but you can take a picture of the baby.
Did you hear that? You can't take selfies.
You don't need to be in the picture. They need to be in the picture.
So also.
Anyway, it was a pleasure meeting you all. Hare Krishna. So
as
you can see, there's no furniture here or anything. So we're just making do with what we got. At least we got a clean floor. It seems a little
simple. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so get in touch and let me know, and then I'll get back to you about October. October 7th to 11th, that's when I'm coming.
Okay. That time we also do those school programs.
Just before
that. Mm-hmm. The only way
back. Yeah, then I have to come for GBC meetings in Mumbai, and then I'll come back here again until the beginning of December. Okay, Hare Krishna, everybody.